Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Sports City. It's your boy T.P. Thomas back at the helm. Got the table all set. Welcome back to the roundtable of Sports City. I've got time for 60 minutes, or maybe more. If we got a lot on slate, I don't know, but the kitchen has been on complete fire as of last night. Man, the crossover was crazy. And let me tell you, they must be happy we back. We had over 1,000 people listening to that show live. So I guess we back, Sports City, man, and I thank everybody for the support. So I took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside, the kitchen timeless is alive. Okay, the caller number is 917-889-9592. Like I said, we got the next 60 minutes or more locked and loaded in Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but y'all are here with this show. So, and like I said, man, excellent show last night with all that basketball talk that we got back underneath our lungs, man, and getting back in here with the round table. Everything goes. I mean, the national championship is on its way. You know, college basketball, the month of January, we're going to get a lot of the conference battles. But, oh, yes, as of the bird month ending, even though it was a big bird month for me in December, though, but the bird month end to put us right here in front of the NFL playoffs. The NFL playoffs start tomorrow. So we got a lot. I believe me, my schedule is full right here. I got a whole bunch of recipes to throw out here and plate for these people around Sports City. Let me get this show started, calling in by way of the state of Michigan, from the state of New York, Brooklyn Zone, Nostradamus, a.k.a. Mr. Knight. Taylor, welcome to the roundtable. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm all right. I got work to do, Sports City. As you see, I got work to do. Okay, so first and foremost, the first thing I want to hit on, Chandler, like I said last night, I'm not going to, you know, miss my boys anymore. I'm going to talk about my boys from now on. I'm not going to just, you know, walk away from them and not speak on them. But the Detroit Lions are looking to sign Bob Quinn, a former rep, if you will, or, you know, scout evaluator from the New England Patriots. And this is pretty big, Chandler, because you were one of the guys, and you know, it hurt me to the core to hear you talk about him, but it was the truth about Martin Mayhew and Tom LeJuan and the job and the responsibilities that these guys had and weren't doing the best of their ability. But they had some change in Detroit. They made the playoffs last season. But your thoughts on them going to one of the better organizations in the NFL and trying to start anew and probably trying to change the culture as well in Detroit. And since you're in the state of Michigan, I mean, if you've heard anything there as well.
Well, unfortunately, I'm in the Upper Peninsula, which, as you know, is, you know, these people up here are Packer fans. I'm still trying to figure out how the hell the people in the state of Michigan are all Packer fans, but we won't get into that right now.
Right.
You know, but I think it's a great move, honestly. I think that Martha Ford, okay? She has decided that she's going to be hands-on, something the Ford family hasn't been. Let's be honest. They haven't been hands-on, okay? They kind of put people in place and let those people do their job, which is fine when you hire people who can actually do the job. She's, what, 80-something, 90 years old?
90
years
old.
Tired of, yeah, she's tired of, you know, she ain't got too much longer, man. You know, she's like, listen, mm-hmm. I ain't got too much longer. Y'all gonna give me some pleasure out of this investment I got before I kick off, you know? So I like it. Bob Quinn was the director of pro scouting. And if we, you know, if we look, we always talk about how the New England Patriots seem to be the only organization or one of the few organizations that can take a guy that nobody else looked at, plug him into what they're doing, and make that guy a star. You know, the Jonas Greys, the Julian Edelmans, the Danny Woodheads, you know, the list goes on and on and on. What's my man, Troy Brown?
Right.
What I'm saying? You know,
right.
What's his name? Deion Branch. You know, there's a long list of dudes who only played well with the Patriots because the Patriots knew what their system was, and they got guys who could fill specific roles, and those guys excelled in those roles. So I think it's a great move. And the thing I like about it is the fact that they are not adding some assistant off of Belichick's staff. He goes, oh, we were the Belichick clone. No. They're going to the roots of that particular tree in New England and saying, hey, let's stop worrying about the coordinators. Let's get some of these people who are picking the pieces that these guys are coaching up, because that's where the true talent is. The true talent in New England is in the management side, in the scouting side. How these guys are evaluating guys, how these guys are finding people and saying, this person can help us. Yeah, but he wasn't undrafted, and he was only, you know, he was the fifth guy on the depth chart in college. He can help us. You know, Deion Lewis, out of football. Out of football. You know, teams that needed running backs didn't want to take the time to let him recover from a gruesome knee injury. Patriots said, Deion, check this out. Come on in there, bro. We got you. Not even 5 games into the season, gave him a contract extension. That's the scouting. That's the talent evaluation. That's all of that. So I like this hire, man. I really do. And the other thing that I like about it is, unlike most of the people that have left New England, the Patriots actually gave their blessing to this. If you think about it, most of the people that have left New England are going to work somewhere else. There has been some acrimony on the New England side as far as that person leaving. You understand what I'm saying? There was something, even with Josh McDaniel, there was some acrimony with him leaving. Like, yo, you ain't supposed to be leaving yet. With this guy, they're like, okay, it's time for you. It's time. Just like with Scott Pioli finally left. How many years did people want to get Scott Pioli out of New England, and he kept saying no, and then finally the organization told him, okay, Scott, it's time. It's time for you to go. You've done all you can do here. It's time for you to move on and spread your wings. So, again, I like the hire. I think it's great. And you know what? Good for Martha Ford. You know what I'm saying? Good for her for taking control. And unlike the Glazer family cowards, you know, she's like, listen, I'm going to be out there and I'm picking these people. And if it don't work, then it's on me this time. I'm not letting anybody else run this for me. I'm going to do it.
Okay. So with that being said, I got to spice this up. I'm starting from the top, Sports City. I have to. Knowing that this guy has an eye for talent, knowing how many guys he's brought in and out of the doors out there in Foxborough, Massachusetts, and helping the New England Patriots, now we have a situation, and I have not been able to talk about this yet here in the kitchen this week, Calvin Johnson mulling retirement. So, one, do you think he retires? Two, he's due $24 million this upcoming season. And three, with the hire of Quinn, I mean, do they add key pieces like Calvin is still going to be there? Do they bring in different receivers to try and fill the shoes of Calvin if he does end up leaving? This is a big situation and probably one of the biggest shakeups in the NFL, at least to me, knowing that, you know, my personal situation is around this Detroit Lions team. But Calvin Johnson mulling retirement, especially with this hire, what type of timing is this for this organization?
You know what's funny about that? I never heard the word retirement. I read the statement that came out. He said he's mulling over his future and evaluating all options. And everybody immediately jumped to retirement. Can somebody tell me in the statement that was released where the word retirement was used? I dare anybody to show me where the word retirement was used. No, ESPN said retirement, so everyone's run with it. Calvin Johnson didn't say he was thinking about retiring. He said, at this stage of my career, like all players, I am evaluating all of my options. Which means just that. Which means he could be thinking about, should I retire? Should I go in here and demand more money? Should I take a pay cut? Should I ask them to renegotiate? Should I make them cut me? Should I demand a trade? Everybody immediately jumped to retirement. Why? That's the part I don't understand. Why? Why did everybody immediately go to retirement? Why didn't they go to, maybe he's going to demand that the Lions trade him? Maybe he's not willing to restructure his contract and the Lions want him to, so there's going to be a face-off on whether or not he's going to get cut. I think Calvin Johnson is doing exactly what he said, evaluating all of his options. Now, what this hire might do is kind of, I think what this hire will do will bring this to a head real quick because Calvin Johnson got a 12 or $24 million cap hit, some number like that. It's some ridiculous number.
24.
So, $24 million. Have the Patriots ever had anybody with a $24 million cap hit? Tom Brady's cap hit ain't $24
million. Maybe Brady. That's all I could think of. Maybe Thomas. That's about it.
Right. Maybe Brady. You understand what I'm saying? So I think what this is going to do is force Calvin to make a decision because they're going to ask Calvin to restructure his contract. You know it, not know it. I think what his statement is saying, and the fact that the Lions released this statement is the other thing. I think that they're talking about what they're going to do. I don't think the Lions want him to leave, but they know that that is an option. So to cover themselves and to cover Calvin, they released this statement. I think that Calvin Johnson will probably be on another team come the start of the season because I don't think he's going to be willing to restructure his contract, and I wouldn't blame him, you know. I wouldn't blame him because the only reason to restructure your contract is if you know the team is trending in the right direction. We don't know what this team is trending at right now. We don't even know Tim Caldwell's still going to be a coach. So I think what the statement Calvin said is that they're trying to figure out this money. They're trying to figure out the money. And it's a precursor to them being able to have an amicable parting with Calvin, where there's no acrimony, where the fans aren't screaming at him, where the fans aren't mad at the organization, but everybody understands that you cannot have Calvin Johnson on your roster with a $24 million cap hit.
Now, interesting enough, we do have Nacho in the building, too, also. Nacho, welcome to the roundtable. How are you feeling this evening?
What's going on? Feeling good.
All right. Now, interesting enough, and me being a Lion fan and personally loving this team, I watched 17 years ago the best running back in my eyes, which I always get into this debate. It's either the Jim Brown, the Walter Payton, you know, or the Emmitt Smith, you know, that situation. But Barry Sanders, hang those cleats up at the age of 30. I am faced with this situation again with a wide receiver named Calvin Johnson at the age of 30, mulling his future, since Chandler puts it that way, which is true. That's what he did say. But, you know, everybody else is running with the retirement situation. And boy, oh, boy, has my phone been ringing off the hook and been getting texts. Like, I'm getting texts now while I'm on air, you know, just about the situation. But it's just a tough situation. And then you got guys like Stephen A. Smith calling out the Detroit Lions organization and just trying to bury him and doesn't blame Calvin for, you know, his thoughts on his future as well. So, Calvin has caused a storm of things as of right now within the NFL. And the Lions aren't even relevant right now. Like they aren't. They're not in the postseason play, and it's still a part of the discussion. Nacho, your thoughts on the situation before we get away from it, or unless Chandler has something behind you also.
All right, we'll start off first with the hiring of the, you know, the Patriots ex-president of scouting, the man who was on the Patriots staff for 16 years, four of it was being president of tail end four. And like Chandler alluded to, this is something where you don't go to the coaching tree to get help. You go to the source. Now, you know, we talk about Bill Belichick and his ability to find the players and put them in the system. What he is he's getting the players from these scouters, from this front office, from him. He's also putting his input as well, but they're doing most of the legwork getting him the players. Now, you know, what he's able to do on a Sunday with a certain player week in and week out, that's his, you know, whatever, if you want to call it, his genius as a coach to fit players in. However, if it's not for this front office and you know, Bob Quinn being, you know, a part of this front office that was for 16 years giving Belichick the players to place in, you know, I don't know if Belichick has the same kind of success if they don't get the players, you know, he needs to fill in those roles for him week in and week out. So I think it's a great hire. I think it's something that they can do with. The question now is with the Jim Caldwell situation. Does he stay on as coach? Do you have faith in him to take it? I know they were discussing Quinn has the essential power now in Caldwell's fate if he decides to keep him or not. So that is the next lingering question on whether or not Caldwell stays or not. The thing I have or the question I will have coming going forward is will Caldwell or whoever, if they pick an ex-coach, be able to take the talent and equate it to wins on the field? Now getting the talent on the field doesn't necessarily make you or give you, you know, wins. You have to be able to put them in the right places and then we'll let that talent flourish. So that's definitely what will be seen. I'll pretty much say the Lions, you know, when they draft, it's not going to be a hit on every single draft pick, but I do believe more and more will fit the style of coaching, whoever the head coach is. So this is a step in the right direction to see where it's going. Now, the Calvin Johnson situation, like Chandler alluded to, retirement was never in the statement. You know, what's going to happen in the future, sooner rather than later, whether he stays or not. This is more or less to me whether or not he stays on the Detroit Lions roster for next year. I don't see a 30-year-old with the talent he has walking away from the game, although we have seen it before. I just don't see it now. There are a plethora of teams that will pay him to be a roster guy, to be a guy to take a roster spot and help a team out. There are too many teams willing to pay him for his services that doesn't necessarily make him the front runner or spotlight if things go bad. So I'm definitely not in the retirement camp or believing that this man is mulling retirement. I think he's mulling over the opportunities that can come to him and whether or not the Detroit Lions is the place to be. Obviously we talk about the $24 million. If they're willing to pay him, does he stay for $24 million? And endure another losing season, or does he take a pay cut to maybe help this team try and take a foot in the right direction? That needs to be seen over the next few months, especially when free agency hits. So I don't know if this is going to be something that can be determined right away for Calvin Johnson. Again, they just finished a 16-game season. Ask this guy in April. Ask this guy in May when the itch to play again is there. Ask him in June when the itch to play for every football player, we've seen them all, from the greats to the non-greats. As soon as they step away from the game, in January, it's the greatest decision they've ever made. And in July, man, they wish they can get back on the field again. So, I just don't see Calvin walking away at all right now. And I think right now, more or less, it's, you know, the end of the season. They didn't win very much. It wasn't a very productive season, in especially coming off 11-5 and making the playoffs the season before. So I think he's just mulling over what the possibilities are with the team, whether he wants to, like we all alluded to, take a pay cut and help this team, or if he wants to move on and try and take his talents elsewhere and see if he can help another team make it to the playoffs or possibly win a championship. But there's a lot of talent left in his tank. And the emergence of Golden Tate on that team, I think, helps the decision-making. We talked about, I think it was last year, how he was getting help from the fact that Johnson was on the team And this year it felt like Golden Tate was the number one. Even though Johnson was still there, it felt to me as if Golden Tate could still make the production without Cavan on the field. So, you know, it might make the Detroit Lions decision a little easier. Maybe this is what it's talking about. So, retirement, no. Playing for the Lions or another team next year, I'll put that greater towards the yes than I will towards anything else.
Chandler, do you think they hang on to Caldwell, yes or no?
I don't know, honestly. I don't know. I personally wouldn't. Honestly, I wouldn't. But I don't know. Because this guy, I mean, it's his first GM job. And for most people, it's first time they're hearing of him, even though he's one of the few people that has been in the draft room in the Patriots organization. They don't let a lot of people in that draft room, and he's been one of those guys. But if I had to bet, I'm going to say no. I wouldn't bet a lot, maybe a dollar. But I'm going to say Caldwell's got to go. I ain't betting a lot. But I'm going to say Caldwell's got to go, man. I'm going to say he's got to go.
All right, and you, Nacho, before we get away from the Lion talk.
You know, it's a toss-up to me. I honestly don't know. I couldn't go either way. I swing more towards keeping him just because of, you know, the continuity, but it's a new GM. Maybe he wants to start afresh. So right now it's a 50-50 to me, but if you got to put a gun to my head, I think it stays for the next season.
Okay. Let's get this thing started, Sports City. I had to get that out the way because I told myself, I told people, I'm not running away from my boys. I got to get that out the way. But tomorrow, and it was a movie named Annie. Y'all all know it. If you don't, the song was Tomorrow, Tomorrow, I'll Love You Tomorrow. Well, Kansas City carries their talents in the Houston up against a pretty hot Texan team. The Texans have been playing ball, but since week seven, however you look at it, right, Kansas City has not lost. Kansas City has won 10 straight games. These guys are on complete fire. Now, the Houston Texans have turned this around somehow, some way. The defense has, you know, found their way. The offense is getting it done, if you will. And Brandon Whedon is leading the show for the Houston Texans. How crazy of a matchup is it where, I'm not even going to lie, I'm going to tell you the truth, and y'all all know it. I am one of the guys that sits here right in this kitchen and calls out Alex Smith week after week after week, at least for the past 3 or 4 years, at least for the past 3 or 4 years. Now it's like this dude took it personal. He's making passes downfield. He has receivers finally scoring touchdowns. This is the first season in 2 years that a receiver scored a touchdown. Like now there's football being played in Kansas City, and this is without him depending on Jamaal Charles. I want to see how you guys feel about this matchup in Houston. I'll come to you first, Nacho, your thoughts on Kansas City and Houston.
Okay, just a quick stat of the day, the crazy stat that, you know, you probably all heard, and forgive me if you mentioned it in your prerequisite, but four different starting quarterbacks for the Houston Texans all won a game this year, and they are in the playoff team. That means they started four different quarterbacks this year and won their division. This is a team that, you know, for making the playoffs, we said it earlier this year. We'll get into the NFC East, but we said that division winner, AFC South division winner, they're one and done. They're hosting a playoff game, and they're getting beat. There's nothing hotter right now in the Kansas City Chiefs. That defense since that date has been number one in defense. Their offense has been, you know, not the greatest show on turf or the 11 Patriots or, you know, one of the greatest offenses ever. They're efficient. They don't turn the ball over. They can run it. They can throw it. They've got a plethora of talent that is forming in Travis Kelce in Charcandrick West and a bunch of other players. Jeremy Maclin is actually catching footballs, catching touchdowns. Alex Smith is throwing touchdowns to wide receivers and also tight ends. And so this team, I think, is red hot. They come into the playoffs on a steamroll. I know Houston has been doing well over the past 4 weeks, but you know, they're about to meet their maker. They're one and done. I think Houston loses big at home. I think they're double digit, you know, dog to me. I think this is, you know, somewhere along the lines, 31-17, possibly 31-14. I think Kansas City has their way with Houston all day. That Houston defense at the back end, those corners and the safeties, they are horrendous. I think they're going to get torched all day. I think that the Kansas City offensive line will give Alex Smith just enough time and reverse that up. Every level of the Kansas City defense has been playing lights out. On to the comeback player of the year, in my opinion, Eric Berry, to the front four, to the linebackers, and to, everyone is just playing at a phenomenal pace in Kansas City. So for the wild card round, I'm definitely going to, you know, ride this Kansas City train. I mentioned it a few days ago. I'm really high on this Kansas City team going into the playoffs. They've done it correctly. They've done it the right way. So, nothing that's going to jump off the page, but they've got a quarterback who's just been tossed around, six different coordinators, six different years, and he's doing it this year consistently, and he's still not turning the ball over. Game manager or not, Alex Smith is winning games. So I'm going to go with Kansas City over Houston big.
Fair enough. Mr. Knight, your thoughts on this matchup? He's already calling a winner. Who do you like in this matchup? I mean, the matchup that you're watching within the game, is it, you know, Alex Smith or Whedon that you're watching? Is it going to be Watt or Houston? And not talking about the Houston Texans, I'm talking about Justin Houston. There's so many different matchups that you got to watch out for within this game. Hopkins up against the secondary as well, while Kansas City defense has been stingy. I didn't even know this is how stingy that the Chiefs have been during this run. The Chiefs have only been allowing 13 points a game since they got on this 10-game winning streak. 13 points. They are not playing around with nobody. Chandler, your thoughts on this matchup?
Well, I think the Chiefs are going to lose, first of all. I heard somewhere today, and it fits, Andy Reid is just generation's Marty Schottenheimer. The only difference is he's actually gotten to a Super Bowl. But outside of that, him and Marty, their playoff record's pretty close, you know, with all of the great teams they've had, and they've gone into the playoffs and haven't done anything. And that's not to say that Andy's a bad coach. Some coaches, it's just how it works out for them, you know. But I don't like Kansas City. I just can't, because I watched that team quit in the game this year when Mr. I'm the LeBron James of football got hurt. I watched that team quit. And I'm sorry, I can't ever believe in a team that would quit. They quit in that game. I don't care about the 10-game winning streak. They quit. When it got tough, they quit. So that tells me that when it gets tough again, you'll quit again. If you quit once, you'll quit again. Okay? So I'm going with Brandon Whedon, who y'all killed me about when I was telling you that Dallas needed to hold on to him. Okay? And everybody said, you Brandon Whedon, Brandon Whedon did the playoffs. Brandon Whedon is quarterbacking a playoff team. Okay? So Naj, tell me about that.
If he would have won in Dallas, he'd be quarterbacking the playoff team there too. He just
they wouldn't let him throw the ball.
Suckier team.
They wouldn't let him throw the ball. And you know what I'm saying? I mean, he was more of a check down guy in Dallas than Alex Smith is, because that's what they told him to do. So that's what he did. And then he got criticized for it. Brandon Whedon has a big arm. We all know that. But they ran that offense in Dallas like, don't make any mistakes, just keep checking it down. So he looked, you know, listen, I think the Texans are going to win. I don't trust the Chiefs. I don't believe in the Chiefs. Andy Reid is going to make that one head-scratching call in a playoff game that he always makes. Well, after the fact, you're like, Andy, what the hell were you thinking? And I got the Texans.
Mm-hmm. we got a split. Do I break this up, Sports City? Do I break this up? Hey, my name is Ty. Oh, man, I wasn't even thinking about picking the win. I just wanted to talk about the game. Oh, man. Who do I like in this game, man? I talk so much younger, man. I was splitting. And Brandon Whedon got me so scared right now. I don't know which way to go, but he got Hopkins on the other end of those passes, man. So it's tough, man. Damn, and Kansas City got a bullseye on their back being 10-0 up until this point.
Whoa.
You know what? On the road, I'm going with Kansas City. I'll go with Kansas City on the road. Reason being, the defense has stepped up, and I think they got more to it on their offense other than, just Hopkins and making plays happen downfield. I feel that they have a running game. Alex Smith could take off just in case if J.J. Watt is getting back there. And you got to believe in what he has downfield, especially with guys like Kelce. I mean, a tight end that has wide receiver speed that can make a difference within his game. This actually puts a test to that Houston Texans secondary. I think Houston will be tested at home. I'm going to go with the Chiefs. And just like Chandler said, I think this is an Andy Reid script to help him carry this Kansas City Chiefs team as far as possible until they start to meet the big wigs in the AFC. I think right now this is a game where the buck stops here for the Houston Texans. It's been a fun run, but I think it stops now. Okay. The next game that we have, the nightcapper tomorrow, and I'm actually getting messages as we speak in the middle of the Sports City Chef page from Aaron Sirius Simmons because he knew what was coming up next. The Pittsburgh Steelers, that's right, he's listening live. The Pittsburgh Steelers go into Cincy up against their division rival, the Cincinnati Bengals, in which Mr. Knight himself is, going back and forth season after season, going after Marvin Lewis. I agree with them here. This is where the buck stops again, Marvin. Marvin, you cannot walk out of the first round again. And it's tough because you're going in there with A.J. McCarron. There is no Andy Dalton right now. Andy Dalton is nursing a hand injury. But you guys are at home up against a division rival where you know them so well, and they're down a running back also. How do you guys feel about this matchup? Who you like and why? I'll start with you first, Chandler.
I don't like the Bengals. I can't pick the Bengals. It's just because the Bengals choke. Marvin Lewis is a loser. I'm sorry, man. Marvin Lewis cannot get his team ready. And here's the thing I see. He's already showing signs of stress because he keeps being asked whether Andy Dalton's going to play. And there was an interview of one of his pressers a couple of days ago. He said, y'all going to start asking me about it. I'm not going to come up here and answer questions about Andy Dalton every time I come up here. Well, that's what being in the playoffs is, Coach. If you get this upset and it's the first round, what happens if you ever get to the Super Bowl? How are you going to handle that? All of the dumb questions there. He's tight. And when the coach is tight, the team plays tight. I got the Steelers. I got Vontaze Burfict getting a dumb 15-yard penalty and then concussing himself because that's what he likes to do. He likes to lead with his head. You're going to have A.J. Green not show up as usual. A.J. McCarron, listen, they're going to come for A.J. McCarron. And I know he thinks he's the second coming of Tom Brady. He's really not. Giovanni Bernard doesn't run well against the Steelers. And for whatever reason, they don't want to give Jeremy Hill the ball. Coaching. The Cincinnati Bengals are going to do what they do come playoff time, which is choking away.
Okay. Callers that we have in queue, press 1. Let me know that y'all want to get in here. We got a couple of people called in listening. If you're just listening, I'll let you rock on. Nacho, your thoughts on this matchup and why? Are you going with Chandler with black and yellow? Or the tide, if you will, of AJ McCarron, or the connection of AJ to AJ, do they get this thing rolling and help these Tigers, a.k.a. the Bengals, get out of the first round?
I like that. I like that. Yeah, they do. Agent McCarron's a winner. I don't care what Marvin Lewis has done. Agent McCarron's a winner. He's got a team around him. I have faith in him. So I'm going to go with Agent McCarron, AJ Green, and that total team in Cincinnati. They just have it. And I know, you know, we can talk about coaching and whatever. this is going to be the greatest 1-2 week for sports radio and sports talk, and we'll talk about that at the end of the show. But for Cincinnati in general, because I do think they win this week with A.J. McCarron at the helm. No running game for Big Ben. They will have a non-existent running game. With Le'Veon Bell out, you're okay. You know, you're good. You got D'Angelo Williams. He was able to spell him the first four games or three games of the year, and then later when he got injured, he was able to do it. Now you're mixing both. That's a big, tall order for whoever's next in line. So I'm not a big proponent of this and of a one-dimensional Big Ben. I do like Big Ben as a quarterback, especially what he's done in the postseason. Nothing against management of three Super Bowls, winning two, losing another, but, you know, three Super Bowls, that's something to scoff at. So I know the playoff prowess of Big Ben. I just think no run game. The defense, who hasn't been very good, they've been kind of a bend, don't break, and have broken several times over the regular season. You know, so I'm going to go with AJ McCarron and the whole team of the Cincinnati Bengals. I do like the quality of talent the Bengals roster has. And I do like AJ McCarron to come in and do just enough to win the game. I do think it's going to be close. I don't think it's going to be a barn burner by any main stretch of the means as a stomping. You know, I think it may be a 3 or 4 point game by the end of this. I won't put a total on it, but I do think Cincinnati comes out victorious. And raises some different questions for the divisional round. But I do think Cincinnati comes out the winner. I just got to take the total team in Cincinnati on what they're able to do. I know they lost to this team in before, but I'm just taking Cincinnati at home wild card weekend.
I'm going to do it like this, Sports City. One, I'm going with Ignacio Silva. I'm going with Ignacio. I'm going with the Cincinnati Bengals. And here's why. I feel that Cincinnati has a defense, let me put this to a T. I feel that they have a secondary that can try and keep up with, you know, Antonio Brown and company. You know that's what I feel. I feel like they can actually try and keep up with these guys. However, I am going to ice the cake here in the kitchen. I hope you're listening to me. And not people around the city, because I know you're listening if you're hearing my voice right now. But Marvin Lewis, I hope you're listening right now. You lose this game at home up against a division rival, their third and fourth string running back that they are just basically throwing in because they have to. Chandler has been repeating this for the past two or three seasons, and you have survived. This is your fifth straight playoff appearance. Marvin Lewis, you don't get away from the black and yellow, you will lose your job. I repeat, you will lose your job. And I feel bad because he has to go to war with AJ McCarron. And you know, I agree with Nacho that AJ McCarron is the winner, and he's played post-style football while he was in Alabama, but he hasn't played playoff football in the NFL. This is what makes it tough. But I don't feel like he'll be in that game nervous, but I feel like he'll have his hands full. I still feel like if they go in that game and put up anywhere from, let's just say, 21 to 27 points, this is a winnable game for Cincinnati. If he comes into this game flat, he's turning the ball over, Ben can take advantage, and then I can't really hold too much to Marvin. But if Marvin has an interesting game plan and they still come up short and lose this game, Marvin, you can go get your bags out of that office, start packing them, and walk away from the city of Cincinnati. I repeat, if you lose this game, I think that those people upstairs will be asking for your job. I think so. Anything else around this before we get away from it?
Marvin Lewis ain't getting fired whether he wins or loses. I keep telling you people this.
Mm-hmm.
The owner loves him. He loves, listen, Mike Brown loves Lovie Smith, Marvin Lewis, like Jerry Jones loves him some Jason Garrett. Okay?
And you're forgetting the key factor that you brought up anyway. The moment that they lose, the owner gets to say, well, if Andy Dalton would have started, we would have won. So we'll just go ahead and try it next year. We're going to ride it out with Marvin and see how this works out next year. Because it's a reoccurring thing with them. And you know, listening to you talk about it, I'm sitting there agreeing with every single thing that you're saying about Marvin Lewis and should be fired. But I feel as if the ownership has that, if you've ever seen Jurassic Park, they try to break into the fat man's computer and they put the wrong password in and they go, that's what I feel the owners say when someone's like, you got to fire Marvin Lewis because he's 0-6 in the playoffs. He's never won you a playoff game in 12 years. They're good during the regular season, but they lose every time you make it to the postseason. And I feel that they're just like, nope, we're going to keep him forever and ever, and we're going to ride him till the sun goes off, and we're going to keep butts in the seats because we're going to have one playoff game every year, and that's how it's going to be. It's sad to say because that team, I mean, look at that roster, and Chandler alluded to it. Bad coaching, because that roster up and down, I don't know, maybe Arizona, but find me another roster healthy up and down that's better than Cincinnati. I mean, they are literally one of the best rosters in all of football, and coaching gets in their way every year.
Okay, and anything else that you guys would like to add toward this before we get away from this matchup?
Nah, but we all going to talk about Lovie, right?
Can I ask the question if you had anything left? Okay, so we're done with the playoff games for Saturday. I don't want to talk about the Sunday matchups because I want to save it for the brunch Sunday. I want to have some ammunition going into that, and I know Ignacio Silva is over there sweating because the Packers are on a doggone losing streak. They're on a losing streak. And by the way, the Washington Redskins are favored in this damn game. Listen, Las Vegas, y'all need to stop it. y'all need to stop it because some fishing is going on. So I'm favored for Sunday. Come back here and get that game Sunday. Believe me, I feel some type of way. Okay. Now, the Lovie Smith situation down there in Tampa Bay is one of the craziest situations that I've seen. And he's only been there for two seasons. He just got his hands on Jameis Winston. And let's be honest, the tail end of the season started to look good for the Tampa Bay team, and they still cut their losses with Lovie Smith. How fair of this situation is it? I mean, we know that the NFL is a business. I mean, are they going to pull in a coach that can just, you know, squeeze the best efforts out of Vincent Jackson? And that's one thing that bothers me. As much as I'm not going to lie, I am a B-Jack fan. But as much as I'm a Vincent Jackson fan, he's not durable. He's not on the field a lot. You got Evans on the other side of him. I really call these guys the twin towers at the wide receiver position, and these guys can't be on the field at the same time. And Jameis Winston, being a rookie, turned it on and actually started to, you know, feel the game, the defensive rushes, and the exotic blitzes that they were going to throw at him. He still did well. Your thoughts on this situation down in Tampa? I'll go to you first, Nacho. I'll save Chandler for last.
I think it's despicable. I think it's, you know, sugar-happy owners who think that they are going to hit some. I mean, the speculation, what I'm hearing and what I've read is the offensive coordinator, Dirk Cutter, who was a horrible coach, by the way, you know, I think he's going to, you know, run that team to the ground if he gets the job. But if he was getting attention from other teams, so the premise is that they got rid of Lovie Smith to make way for Dirk Cutter so they don't lose Dirk Cutter to another team. Excuse me, sorry about that. I'm just really at a loss for words at how they could do this to this man. And I know, you know, he said, if you're going to fire me, then do it now instead of calling me in. So they fired him over the phone. But still, just the lack of respect that these owners have. And you know, I want to make it a race thing, and I don't want to seem like it's every time. But when you get rid of your black defensive coordinator, you get rid of your black head coach to make way for your white offensive coordinator, which it seems to be. Now, if they don't hire Dirk Cutter and they go outside and they hire somebody else, then maybe I'm wrong. But for all intents and purposes, that's what seems to be going on over there. I'm just not too ecstatic at that premise of doing that. You let Dirk Cutter go. A guy in Lovie Smith, who year one only won you two games, and year two with a rookie quarterback who I thought was going to throw interception after interception and gradually grow over the next 2 years, did what a normal quarterback does in 2 years in one. He progressed so, and I don't want to say gracefully, but he progressed in a manner in which is, I haven't seen from a quarterback who needed the progression more, if that makes any sense. To me, Jameis Winston was a quarterback who just needed to learn. He needed time, and he needed to get better and to read defenses and just grow as a quarterback. And I didn't think that this progression that we saw towards week 16 and 17 and 15 was something we wouldn't see until maybe the middle or the end of next year. So the way he was able to read defenses, the way he was able to get the ball out quickly, the way he was able to just do things that a normal rookie at the tail end of their season, you shouldn't see do that consistently, he was. And, you know, we talk about the weapons he has, if they can't stay healthy. He does have a beast little, I don't want to say little, but the Doug Martin, the running back he's got there is no joke. Not only can he just turn around and hand the ball off and clutch situations if he needs to, or you know, whenever, but he can also dump it off to him. He's a great receiver in the out and as a check down, and he's been great for Jameis throughout the year. So I just don't see the firing. It doesn't make any sense. 2 years, if I'm not mistaken, Greg Schiano only got 2 years before that. So you're not – the consistency is just not going to be there. And if this is the way that Jameis Winston has to do his career, it's all downhill from here. 2 years, another head coach. 2 years, another head coach is what I see, because next year I don't see much progression with a new head coach, especially if it's Dirk Cutter. They may digress, as horrible as he is. I'm just not a huge fan. Living in Arizona, being one of the fans of ASU, you would understand why. So I'm just not a huge fan of Dirk Cutter at all in any sense of any sense of the word. So it, to me, it doesn't make any sense, and you just lose all continuity and all consistency that you had with the team that was seeming to gel. Even though they went on a losing streak, they were gelling and they were playing hard. Their obviously talented roster wasn't as talented as the other teams they were playing, but they were fighting, and they were doing things the right way consistently, and it felt like they were going in the right direction. So I'm just not really too ecstatic about this firing, especially in the manner in which they did it.
For City, I think this is the first time that Nacho has gone that way. Now, and I'm not pushing that envelope. Believe me, I'm not. I'm not pushing that envelope. I'm going to chill. I am going to chill. Bart Taylor, your thoughts on this situation, a.k.a. the firing, going down where the cannons get let off in Tampa Bay.
See, I'm about to shock Ty here, because I'm about to defend Lovie Smith. Ty knows how I feel about Lovie Smith. I am not a Lovie Smith fan. I am no fan of Lovie Smith at all. But understand this, people. Lovie Smith is a guy who thought Rex Grossman was good enough to win him a Super Bowl and got the Super Bowl with Rex Grossman. Lovie Smith is a guy who thought that McCown was a good starting quarterback last year. Okay, I forget which one, but it really doesn't matter because they're both the same guy that bums. I did not think Lovie Smith would be able to utilize and teach Jameis Winston and help Jameis Winston grow as a quarterback. I thought it would be a dumpster fire. And instead, I watched Lovie Smith adjust to his players, something I've never seen him do. I saw him grow as a coach this year. I saw him grow as a coach. I saw him look at the player he had and understand that, okay, this kid's a rookie. He's going to make some mistakes. I can't ask him to be making all of these throws and all sort of nonsense. So they condensed the playbook. They did the things he does best, and they started winning games. They were 6-6 at one point and legitimately in the playoff conversation. Legitimately. He went from 2 wins to 6 wins. That's a 4-win improvement. If he improves 4 more wins the next season, that's 10 wins. That's 10 wins, people. So they're trending upward. I heard the gentleman say, well, you know, it doesn't, just because you're rebuilding doesn't mean you can't compete. That team did compete. They were in the playoff conversation until basically the last 4 weeks of the season with a team that wasn't built to compete this season. That team was not built to compete this season. We all know this. They weren't built to compete this season. So what's the excuse for firing them? Because you want to keep your offensive coordinator? Do like Dallas did when they had Sean Payton that time. Pay him extra to stay there. Do like Dallas did when they kept J.C. Jarrett through 17 head coaches because they loved him as an offensive coordinator. Pay him extra money. That wouldn't be the first time that a team paid an offensive coordinator damn near as much money or more than their head coach because they valued him as an offensive coordinator. There's been a couple of teams over the past 10 years that have done that. There's been teams that have refused teams permission to talk to some of their coaches because they didn't want to lose the coach. And we all know this. So the whole we didn't want to lose Derek Cutter thing is garbage. It's garbage. It's garbage. The Glazers are terrible. These are the guys that bought Manchester United, and Manchester United has kind of stunk since they bought them. Okay? They don't know what the hell they're doing. They're cowards. Okay? They are cowards. Because you stuck Jason Light up there to try to defend what you're doing, and there is no defending. There's no defending firing this man. There's no justification for it. You had a team that was trending upward. Not for nothing. There's a lot of things I don't like about Lewis. One thing I do like is you don't have guys that are headaches, that are getting in trouble and things like that off the field on his teams. You have guys that conduct themselves properly in the community on his teams. You have guys that buy into him on his teams. All in. Whether I like him or not, his players love him. Love him. Okay? There's a lot to be said for that. If you don't think so, look at the Philadelphia Eagles. How'd that work out for them with three-quarters of the players hating the coach? How'd that work out for them? So you take all of this into consideration, and then you say, every time they've had a black coach that's gotten the team just about ready to start competing, they fired that coach and brought in a white guy. So here we go again. All right, here we go again. Because, by the way, Raheem Morris, who got 3 years, won 10 games while he was there. And then they replaced him with Greg Schiano because they thought the team was about to trend upward. You can't justify this firing. The only thing I can say to Lovey is, you know, good for you because now you got a chance to go to an organization like the New York Giants that will value everything you bring as a coach. Because that's why I personally think that's where he should go next. I think the New York Giants should hire him right now. But this is like the worst, man. This is the worst. You know, this is the worst. You got guys like Josh McDaniels. People say, oh, he should be a head coach again. Why in the hell should Josh McDaniels be a coach again? But Lovie Smith has just lost his job. It's ridiculous.
Well, since we're in that part of the kitchen, do you think this is racially driven?
Did they look at him and say, we don't want a black coach? No, because every other coach they hire is black. What I do think, though, is that they don't believe that a black head coach can get them over the hump. And I don't know if that's subconscious or conscious or whatever, but every time this team gets close to really being a winner, they fire the black head coach and bring in a white head coach. Okay?
And as is being said in the chat room, too, they did the same thing to Dungy and brought Gruden.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And if they don't play the Raiders Cutter, in that Super Bowl, they don't win. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, no, but I'll be real quick. But this dude, Cutter, Nacho's right. I remember him. He's terrible.
He's a horrible man.
Well, there you have it. I mean, this is what we can give you in an hour's time, Sports City, man. And I have to try and save enough of this at least for Sunday and Monday night because Monday night is the national championship. So I as much as I want to try and delve into that Alabama. Let me get my colleges right. Clemson and Alabama go at it. I'm gonna save it. I'm gonna sit on that, man. Everybody can respectfully get on with their Friday evening. I need plugs and closeouts from both of you as we shut down the roundtable. Great stuff in a 60-minute window. I love it. Not so you're saved by the bell, but you will not be safe in about 48 hours. Just let me tell you. We'll be at it. I don't like what Vegas is saying. I don't like what Vegas is saying. And you could ask Chandler what I said. I think you were here. If I'm not mistaken, I said something that you would like. I said something that you would like. Okay, so I need plugs and closeouts from both of you. I'll start with you first, Mr. Silva. Plug, closeout, shout out, anything that you like to promote as we get up out of the kitchen here at the round table.
Yeah, they do got Washington as a 1-point favorite. I know yesterday it was flipped. I think it's been back and forth all week. It was one them, one us, now it's back to one them. So we'll get back into that on Sunday morning. But, you know, there's a lot of coaching stuff we didn't get over. And I know I said something pretty crazy with the New York Giants and Tom Coughlin, and I think that he might go to Philly, but this is one of those things that I feel it's the perfect setup. You got the number one pick in the draft. You got the quarterback the man wanted. And you pretty much got a clean slate and a defense that played a little better than anyone anticipated in the Tennessee Titans. So, you know, my two little blockbuster or you know, out of the realm possibilities for the 2016 season is I truly do believe that in Philadelphia, Tom Coughlin will be the head coach, and I do believe that in Tennessee, Chip Kelly will be the head coach in Tennessee. I think Marcus Mariota is a big enough draw for him, and I just think that's the way that we will see Chip Kelly go. I know that, you know, that the Robert Griffin and Colin Kaepernick and possibly taking them somewhere he could go is another possibility, but I just think Marcus Mariota, the continuity he's already built over 1 year with those teammates and going in there, I don't think they would give him, obviously, any GM power, but you make him head coach, and we saw what he could do when he just has head coaching prowess, and he's just able to coach the team. I mean, 10-6, and they went to the playoffs, so let's see if that can happen in Tennessee. I'm not predicting playoffs or anything like that, but let's see if he can turn it around and maybe get some wins over there. So that's something I'm really going to keep a close eye on to. Those two coaching jobs to me right now, you know, we could throw in the Tampa Bay with Jameis Winston, but I think Marcus Mariota, Eli Manning, the Titans and the Giants, those are two jobs that I think people are going to be kind of clamoring for. There's some money that needs to be spent in both those organizations. And I know for the Giants, as the family, the Mara family, it's a good organization to work for. In Tennessee, they're trying to get their things going, and what we saw to Marcus is a good year. So maybe we'll get into that more next week if we get some more concrete of who's talking to who and things of that nature. So I know these seven or maybe eight, I think it's seven or eight coaching vacancies, they're going to be something to talk about. Other than that, MMA. You know, we all thought we'd have to wait until, what was it, June or July for Holly Holm to make a title defense. The news broke as of recently. Two big co-main events at UFC 197. UFC has actually failed to make a comment on these fights, but everyone's clinging to that they're real and that they're going to happen. And that's everyone from, you know, the guys that are working in UFC as reporters and things of that nature. But Conor McGregor will move up. Fight Rafael Dos Anjos for the championship, and then Holly Holm will take on Misha Tate for her championship. So two big fights in the MMA world that are coming up in March. And then also in boxing, we got Mr. Miguel Cotto and Juan Manuel Marquez, I believe, are going to be having a fight sometime this year. So there's a bunch of things going on. 2015 was huge. 2016 is already starting off pretty crazy. So just excited to see what can happen all over every sports, you know. So at Nacho on the Box, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Glad we're back. Can't wait for Sunday. Then the sports wrap up on Monday, so we can talk about that that great college championship game. And let's see from here on out, man. Just excited Sports City's back and get it going, get it going.
Yeah, what happened to the back to back MVPs and all that other stuff, man? What happened to all of that? What happened?
Hey, you know, you win some, you lose some.
Hey, look, I know y'all losing a lot now. Y'all losing a lot. I ain't gonna go no further. I'm gonna let you deal with these Indians by yourself. I ain't gonna go down that road. I'ma chill. Taylor just fell off, so I definitely know we'll be talking to him throughout the weekend. So y'all stay tuned, Sports City. SportsCityChefs.com. Check out the website, interviews, the blog, the chef. We'll be back here Sunday with the brunch. You already know what's going on. You already know a lot of things on my heart, man. Rest in peace. Shout out to my cousin that left me. And I'm doing it for you, man. A lot on my mind, man. But it feels good to be back in the kitchen. My boys bringing me back day by day, man. They tell me that, you know, time heals. So I'm in the kitchen getting my mind right, getting my chef tools together, rubbing my hands together, hoping for something big here in this kitchen. On that note, tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
We did it like that, and now we do it like this. We did it like that, and now we do it like this.
Yeah. Now, block, kids, who got the cocaine? Don't tell me it's the little kids on the boat train. The metaphor sent from my brain to my jaw. It comes from other places, not the tinted faces. Journalistic values are yellow, and then, of course, authors. You watch Channel Zero with that bitch, Mama Lawton. Should have you believe black invented crack when President Lyndon had the formula way back in 63 with Kennedy. Yes, the double cross. Remember, that's when they blow his fucking head off. Vietnam vets come back looking like one-armed pests. Nixon bombs, pure tech. No picket fence, no job, no angel in the car. Blue collar turns to bourgeois. Depressed in your chest. Demerol for cess. No dough, crack and veils much less. White, he can sell on the corners of Bushwick. White, he can sell on the corners. White teeth can sell on the corners of Bed-Stuy. Pass the torch to that nigga guy. So just die, nigga, die, nigga. You're too black, you can't handle, you're too strong, get high. Five clock next boost your steel. In 95 we take back Emmett Till.
Let's take a sec to think back, think back, think
Brooklyn,
back.
Traveling distance to party Brooklyn. Absent functions, that hardly Brooklyn. The name alone holds Gartley.